Okay, I guess the children can go to children's church if you'd like to. Meeting upstairs. Well, it's good to see you today. We've been walking through and working through the book of Hebrews since about January. We're now in chapter 11. And it's just a lot of great stuff in Hebrews, and we don't want to miss anything. But I just want to let you know, next week, a few things before we get into the sermon. Something I should have mentioned earlier. There's no adult life group next week. You can come and mingle and drink coffee and things. We've got a big production going on here next week. And so there's going to be some activity going on in the sanctuary. And so I want you to come and participate in that. Watch that. And I know you're going to be blessed by that. Laura has been working hard, and some of the others, getting all of this put together. So I invite you to come and look at that and visit that. Also, on January 6th, there's a membership class. If you're going to participate in that and you haven't let me know, just put on your card, membership class. And so I'll know to prepare for you as you come. Also, if you want to go on a mission trip this next year, there's some things available for East Asia through our association, through our convention. And so if you want to do that, then let me know and we'll get you connected with the right people. Okay. Everybody doing okay? Good. Good. Well, we're in Hebrews chapter 11. Isaiah helped me last week preach a message on faith. Awesome. And it did an awesome job. Probably would not have understood as much about faith if he hadn't been a participant. And so thank you, Isaiah, for doing that. You did a marvelous job. He asked me today, can I help you preach today?
He's got faith.
Yeah, he did a great job. And so anyway, we're going to work on that. I don't have it today. I don't have it together today. But we're going to work on that. So today we're in Hebrews chapter 11. But before we get into that, we're going to be talking about seeking God. Seeking God. We watched at the boys' group last Friday night an excerpt from a series regarding the shepherds and the birth of Jesus and how there was this great bright light and the angels spoke to them and then they ran to see the Christ child in Bethlehem. We began discussing what would it have been like to have been there. Wouldn't that have been awesome to have been one of those shepherds there on the field and all of a sudden just a miraculous herald from heaven? And getting to see the Christ child. You know, they had to have faith that when they heard from the angels that they were actually hearing from angels, and also that the communication that was given to them was going to be accurate. And so they ran to Bethlehem and saw the Christ child. Also, we find in Matthew chapter 2 about wise men seeing a star in the east and traveling a long distance. They were probably... Now, we have a song that says, "We three kings from Orient are." Well, they're probably not from the Orient. They were probably from Babylon. Probably from the area where Iran is now. And they would have had the information given to them by Daniel the prophet, who had been there during that time, and he had written records of when Jesus was going to be coming to earth, as Tom shared a while ago. They would have had those records. And if you remember, Daniel was kind of over the entire astrology department. in Babylon. And so he was teaching those who were under him. And it was probably through his teaching and through his records, the historical records, that hundreds of years later, they had been looking forward to this day when Jesus was going to come. And they began traveling, seeing a star, and by faith, they saw him, saw Jesus come, the Messiah. Are you familiar with a guy named Simeon? Simeon is found in Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 25. And Simeon was in the temple. He was ministering in the temple. And one day, actually, this is pretty neat. I want to read this to you. Because we're going to find, so anyway, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. And so, guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple complex. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your slave in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Before Jesus ever came to this earth, it was revealed by the Holy Spirit to Simeon that he would not die before he saw the Messiah. Isn't that cool? And it said that the Holy Spirit revealed it to him, and the Holy Spirit guided him. One day he woke up, and the Holy Spirit led him to church. The Holy Spirit guided him to church, and while he was at church, here comes Mary and Joseph, and they bring this little baby. And when he sees the baby, Simeon proclaims, knowing in his heart that this is the promise that God had made him. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Wouldn't you have liked to have been there? There was a lady there named Anna. We find her in verse 32. She had been so. She was a God-fearing lady. She was married 7 years, and then her husband died. And so she went and she lived at the temple. She lived there day and night for probably 60 years. She was 84 years old at this account. And for about 60 years, she had stayed there in the temple, worshiping the Lord, praying for her grandchildren probably. Praying for her mom, praying for her dad, praying for 60 years. Of course, probably by then, mom and dad had passed away. But she was serving the Lord. And she happened to be there when Simeon saw Jesus. And she heard Simeon proclaim, "This is the Messiah." And Anna heard it and believed in her heart. By faith, believed in her heart. And she began spreading the word to everyone that she had seen the Messiah. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that incredible? Man, I would have loved to have been there. I would have loved to have been there. But we find all of these people seeking the Lord. And because they sought the Lord, they found Him. So that takes us to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6, on our passage, focal passage for today, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Why don't you stand together with me and read this, if you would. "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, in that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Read it with me again. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You may be seated. So, in some translations, that word diligently is not in there. Just like the one we read. In some translations, that word sincerely is not in there. In some translations, it says, for those who seek him. But that word in the Greek actually has these meanings. Actually, it's two words. And you don't know Greek, and I don't either, so I'm reading it to you. Okay? Ek means abundant, exceedingly, vehemently. And then it's actually two Greek words, ek and zeteo. To search out, investigate, crave, demand, worship, inquire, and seek after diligently. So that's what that word means. That if you are urgently going after something, and you're urgently, vehemently seeking after God. He says, if you urgently seek after me, you're going to find me. Just like Simeon was promised that he would not die before he saw the Messiah, there's a promise here for you and I. And this promise is that if we seek after the Lord with our whole heart and with our whole mind, that we're going to find the Lord. There's some other passages of Scripture we're going to just briefly read through that kind of undergirds this promise. In Proverbs 8:17, he says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And then again in another translation, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Amos 5:4, for thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live. In verse 6, which you don't have, it says, seek the Lord and live. You're familiar with that passage of Scripture in John 10:10 that says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. How many of you want an abundant life? It's impossible to find an abundant life outside of Jesus Christ. So no matter what you pursue in your life, if it isn't Jesus Christ, there's going to be this something you feel like is going to be missing. And you're going to come to the end of your life and say, I never found what I was looking for. And you can search for it in a lot of different ways, but Jesus Christ is the only one can satisfy that longing of your soul. He's the only one. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, 29, but from there you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. 1 Chronicles 28, 9, and Solomon, my son, learn to know God, the God of your ancestors intimately. Learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Did you know that you can learn to know God intimately? You can do that. That's God's desire for you and for us. For me, it's for him and for us as well. In 1 Chronicles 28, 9, worship and serve him with your whole heart, a willing mind, for the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and thought. If you seek him, you will find him, but if you forsake him, he will neglect you or reject you forever. That's a pretty bold warning. First Chronicles 16:11, I don't think I have that in here. Search for the Lord and for His strength. Seek His face always. So, we find that God wants us to look for Him. God wants us to search for Him. When my grandchildren were really small, it's not so much now, but when they were really small, we would play hide-and-go-seek. And I would know where they were, but I would pretend not to find them. And I would search and search and search, and pretty soon, within about a minute, one of them would go, whoop! Or whistle, or kick something, whoop! And I'd keep looking. Pretty soon, all of them would, whoop, 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 whoop! Because they wanted me to find them. God wants us to find Him. And it's not like He's hidden from us. And it's not like He doesn't want to be found by us. But it's like, if it's not important to you, if I'm not important to you, then I'm not going to reveal myself to you. How important is the Lord to you? It was important to these wise men. It was important to the shepherds. It was important to Anna. It was important to Simeon. How important is the Lord to you? How important is it to you that you find Him? What we find in Scripture is that when we seek for the Lord, that our mind and our heart has to be engaged. Our mind and our heart has to be engaged. You won't find Him if you're not engaged in that. I remember Larry telling us how much he pursued Pam. And how it took him a while before he caught her. But his whole heart and his mind was engaged in that pursuit. But you kept pursuing until you caught her. Bob kept pursuing Caroline until she until she stopped. Renee kept pursuing Tom. I don't know how true that story is that I just said. It's a prophetic word. Yeah. So, when you are seeking after a mate, there's something about engaging the heart and the mind in that. It's like, if you only are half-hearted in it, probably not going to take place. Probably not going to take place. If you're pursuing one day and then the next day like, eh, who cares? So who pursued who, Briar?
Yeah, I was literally sitting here like, I don't care.
Okay, okay. Good answer. But there's something about that pursuit. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be wanted. God wants to be wanted. He wants to be pursued. And at the same time, He's pursuing you. At the same time, someone some years ago called Him the Hound of Heaven. But so He just keeps on and keeps on and keeps on and keeps on pursuing you until you start pursuing Him. Because He loves you. Because He wants you. And He said, if you begin pursuing Me with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, you're going to find Me. We're going to have an encounter. So what does it look like to seek the Lord? We know that the Lord is everywhere, right? He's everywhere, but yet for those who know Him and find Him, there's this connection that we have with Him that those who don't know Him don't have. He promises to lead us. He promises to guide us. Now, to seek Him, oftentimes, there's a lot involved in this, and if I confuse you, raise your hand. I don't want to confuse you. But there's a lot involved in this. Sometimes in our pursuit of God, sometimes we're just pursuing His favor. Sometimes we're pursuing His provision. Sometimes we're pursuing His protection. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. We ought to. Matter of fact, in the Lord's Prayer, we are told to be kind of selfish in our prayers. Right? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Protect us. Don't lead us into evil. So it's kind of a selfish kind of thing. But God, in that pursuit, God reveals Himself to us in that pursuit of those things that only He can give. He reveals those things to us, and then we can say, you know what? God does love me. God does care about me. He answered my prayers. He answered my prayers. He answered my prayers. And so therefore, because God answers prayer, we see Him at work in our lives. Now, every prayer you've ever prayed, probably not every prayer has been answered the way you wanted them to. Okay? I think every prayer is answered. Sometimes it's no. But even that, it's because God loves you. And He knows what's best for you. And sometimes it would be best if we not get our prayers answered the way we think we ought to have them answered. But God loves you. Now, I believe He's ever... He heard your cries from the moment you were born. He's so intimately involved with you and in you and all about you. But we need to seek Him with a whole heart, whole mind. To seek the Lord, sometimes, even as Christians, it seems like God is far away. Right? Sometimes it's as if, God, where are You? I remember praying in my office one day and saying, Lord, I feel like You are keeping me at arm's length. And I wasn't expecting an answer. But I heard Him say in my spirit, Brad, the distance you keep people away from you is the distance I'll keep you away from me. So I had some forgiveness to do. I had some walls I had to take down. Because I really was pursuing God. I want a relationship with Him deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. But there are some things in my life that would hinder me from having that deeper relationship with the Lord. And it's very possible there are things that are in your life that keeps you from having that relationship with the Lord, that you want a deeper relationship. Not just a surface relationship, but a deeper relationship. And so there are some carnal things perhaps we need to get away from. We need to have put... You know, the internet is a wonderful thing in some areas, but it's not so wonderful in other areas. There are things that we are made available to now that was not made available when I was growing up. And it can be a wonderful thing if you're pursuing godly things that are available, but it can be a horrible thing if you're pursuing ungodly things that are available. And so all of these things come into place that keeps us from having that relationship with the Lord. And so sometimes we need to put away, we need to put away carnal things, not sometimes, but if it's a problem in your life, you need to put away carnal things because that's going to hinder your relationship with the Lord. Also, one of the things that probably more so now than ever, people are freaking out, they're worried, they're scared, they're stressed out over everything. And did you know that worry and fear can keep you from having that relationship with the Lord and pursuing Him? Because what has happened is that our hearts and mind are focused on those things rather than on the things of the Lord. And so we then, if we're truly pursuing the Lord, then those things, we're going to have to put them aside and say, Lord, You can handle this. I don't know how, but You can handle it. And I'm going to just pursue You, and I want to watch You and see You in areas in which You're working. So, there's a tendency to worry about problems. There's a tendency to be drawn into political things. And I can watch about that much news. And then sometimes it makes me angry. It's making me angry thinking about it. So I'm going to move on. All right? Yeah. Lord, forgive me. I'm going to move on. There's so much that can distract us and keep our minds off the Lord. There's so much that we can put our hearts and our minds into and just really get zealous about. How much good does it do for eternity? How is that allowing you to get closer to the Lord? So we have to keep a focus. If we want to draw closer to the Lord, we have to be focused on Him. So we can find Him. Scripture says the heavens are telling the glory of God. We can find Him when we're out at night and we see the stars and the storms and all of that. We can find God in that. We can find God in the world. I was over to the hospital yesterday. I went to see two babies. Maylene had a baby. A little boy. I can't remember his name. And then Larry had a grandchild born day before yesterday. Went to see that baby. Did you know that's God? That's God. And we can see God in those special times. We see Him. Nothing could happen without God in the midst of all of that. Every time you see a baby, you see a miracle. You see a miracle. That's miraculous power of God causing that to take place. We can find Him in the graces of other people. There are people that you can see. We were talking about in Sunday school this morning how some people you can just see Jesus in them because of the way they act, because of the way they speak. You can just see, you don't even have to ask, are you a Christian? You just know it. Because of the spirit that they carry. We find God in the graces of others. And we need to be, I need to be more conscious of God in and around me. I think as I become more conscious of God in and around me, I can draw closer to Him just by giving Him praise and thanksgiving for the people I see whom the Spirit of God is in and the graces that are given through them. We can find Him in the Word. Have you ever found God in the Word? We can find Him in prayer. That's a wonderful way to find God. How many of you have ever found God in prayer? Okay. That's a wonderful way to find God and experience God. But you, again, you've got to put your heart and your mind. How many of you ever found God when your mind and your heart wasn't really into your prayer? How many of you found God in the Word when your mind and your heart really wasn't in the Word? When it was not. Yeah. So, God will engage with us when we engage with Him. And believe it or not, you can find God at church. Every now and then. You can find Him at church. Because God wants to engage with His people. One of the things that I feel like has really increased the Spirit of God in our congregation is when we began our Tuesday evening by prayer time. I think God is just really pleased with us as a group pursuing Him. It's not about so much getting our prayers answered as it is about meeting with Him. For God, I think it's most important to Him that we're just going after Him. And we're pursuing Him. I think He's really happy with that. And because we make Him happy, He does some neat things for us. He says, if you seek Me with all your heart, what? You will find Me. Say it again. When you seek Me with all your heart. One more time. When you seek Me with all your heart. Do you believe that? I remember as a non-Christian going to church, reading the Bible, saying prayers, saying the prayer, being baptized, but I never encountered God. I was very religious. I never encountered God. Until I began pursuing Him with all my heart and all my mind. Because before I met Christ, it was like, I want to go to heaven and I want to pray the prayer because that's going to get me in heaven, but I really want to do these other things too. You know what I discovered? God's not interested in that. If I'm going to pursue this, He's going to just wait until I'm ready to pursue Him. Then when I turn my heart and I ask God to forgive me, truthfully, I mean, I asked Him to forgive me probably 1,000 times. I grew up in church. My dad was a preacher. And I probably asked Him to forgive me 1,000 times, but when I truly meant it, and like, God, I don't want to go there anymore. Then God met me. God met me. And God wants to meet each one of us. But if you're like me, God's kind of just waiting until you say, I'm not going to pursue these things anymore. I'm going to pursue You. And Jesus will welcome you with open arms You can become a child of God. You can be embraced by the Father. Like I said earlier, even as Christians, sometimes we get our hearts and our minds on other things and we're not pursuing God like He would like to be pursued. We're pursuing other things. So this morning, this is the invitation. If you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, maybe you've been struggling with that and like, man, I've been seeking after God, but He's like way off over here and I can't get to Him and what's up with this? Maybe you were like me. You are like me that I was, and there's some things you need to put aside. And you need to say, God, I want You and You only. Whatever that means, I want You and You only. Or maybe you have a relationship with the Lord, but maybe you have allowed other things to get in the way. And you need to recommit yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, it's You and You only. I want You. And I'm going to seek You with all my heart, with all my soul. God wants a relationship with you. Not just surface, but intimate. Father, I come before You today, and Lord, I want to thank You for Your Word. Lord, I have to confess that I don't always pursue You. And Lord, I don't always see You when You show up.